Russ Davis. Join me for Jazz America right after the latest news on VOA 1.
I'm Steve Norman reporting. Elite security forces in Burkina Faso have stormed an upscale hotel frequented by foreigners in the capital, where suspected Islamist militants are holding hostages. Not immediately clear right now how many people have been killed during the siege, but initial reports say 20 people are dead, another 50 wounded. Some reports indicating that the local Al-Qaeda affiliate, known as AQIM, claim responsibility as the attack was ongoing. Lasting defeat has become a mantra for the top U.S. officials when talking about the strategy to defeat the Islamic State, sometimes called ISIL or ISIS. General Lloyd Austin is in charge of the U.S. military Central Command.
Altogether, our different efforts targeting ISIL's forces, targeting his leadership, targeting his infrastructure, his gas and oil production and distribution capabilities, his economic infrastructure, and the various sources of revenue, altogether, these efforts translate into devastating effects on the enemy.
Obama administration and others see the IS militants as an existential threat. Less clear is how a lasting defeat will be engineered and how long it will take. The UN International Atomic Energy Agency is expected to verify whether Iran is complying with its commitment to curtail its nuclear program, clearing the way for the lifting of international sanctions. Islamic Republic and World Power signed a nuclear agreement last July under which Tehran would scale back its uranium enriching activities and submit to inspections in exchange for a rollback of sanctions. This is VOA News. The French government is launching an inquiry into a drug trial of an experimental medication that has left one person brain dead, five others hospitalized in serious condition. Health minister says what happened is unprecedented. Six men, ages 28 to 49, were participating in the trial. They've been hospitalized since Sunday. One was declared brain dead. The others remain hospitalized, with all showing the same signs of neurological symptoms. All trials of the drug are now suspended. A Norwegian educational program for migrants and refugees that focuses on the treatment of women is attracting attention in the wake of mass New Year's Eve assaults on women in Cologne, Germany. Reports that women in Germany, Sweden, and elsewhere have been sexually harassed by men from the Middle East, North Africa, and Asia have sparked outrage across Europe. Story now from Zlatica Hoek.
The Hero Competence Center in the northern Norwegian city of Stavanger offers courses in Norwegian language and culture to refugees and asylum seekers. Many students in this class came from countries where women have little or no freedom. An important part of the training focuses on the prevention of rape. The two-year pilot program has caught the attention of other European countries following reports of sexual assaults by foreign men on women in Europe. German officials have announced tough measures for such crimes. Rights groups and Muslims have called such steps hasty and unjustified. Zlatica Hoek, VOA News, Washington.
Worries about China slowing economic growth, further steep drops in oil prices, and a disappointing report on U.S. retail sales contributed to global stock sell-off on Friday. The cost of a barrel of oil slid to around $29. In New York, the S&P 500 fell nearly 2.2% at the close. Sam Stovall is managing director, U.S. Equity Strategy, S&P Capital IQ.
I think that we're headed for a very challenging 2016. I think that possibly the 12.4% decline that we experienced in this correction through August 25th is not going to be the ultimate bottom. But I don't think that we're headed for a bear market. From an economic perspective, we are not looking for a recession.
The Dow Jones Industrial Average on Friday was off 2.4% here in the U.S., and the Nasdaq plunged 3.1%. The slump comes after Chinese authorities reported weaker-than-expected loan data, adding to worries about the world's second-largest economy. Chinese stocks have fluctuated wildly for months, despite efforts by Beijing to prop up the market. Get more news by going to our website, and you can find us at voanews.com.
That's the latest world news from VOA.
hello again, my friend, and welcome to another edition of Jazz America here on VOA 1. This is Russ Davis, your host. And on this edition of the program, we're going to celebrate one of the greats of jazz who would have been 70 years old on the 12th of January. He's the great keyboardist, composer, band leader, and producer, George Duke. I want to celebrate George Duke by sharing with you conversation with George that also includes his longtime friend and associate, Stanley Clark. From the time they first met in the early 1970s until George's passing in August of 2013, they were almost inseparable. They recorded together on each other's different separate projects as solo artists and then collaborated on the Clark Duke project releases as well. We'll hear a little bit of that and a lot of conversation that I enjoyed with them in the Montreux Jazz Festival in Switzerland in the 20th century. In 2013, just months before George died, in one of their last performances ever in New York City at the Blue Note Jazz Club, and also at the 2005 International Association for Jazz Education Conference in Long Beach, California. But let's begin this edition of Jazz America on a bit of a sad note, as we remember two of the greats of jazz who passed away just in the last few weeks. Pianist and composer and band leader and arranger, Paul Bley, followed by the great vocalist and daughter of Nat King Cole, Natalie Cole. I'll tell you more about them after we hear their music. First, here's Gary Burton joining with Paul Bley in a duo concert recorded in Copenhagen, Denmark in 1990 on the song Eidertown. Paul Bley on piano, Gary Burton on the vibes from the album Right Time, Right Place to begin this edition of VOA's Jazz America. Thank you.
Odessa. Love and soul. Beautiful, soulful love.
Distinctive voice, the late Natalie Cole, from the Terry Lynn Carrington Project, her most recent work, the Mosaic Project Love and Soul. That's a song, Come Sunday, and Natalie Cole's last recorded effort before her passing on New Year's Eve, the 31st of December, just a couple of weeks ago. Natalie Cole followed in her father's footsteps, the late, great
pianist, composer, and vocalist himself, Nat King Cole, carrying on his musical legacy in a major way. Her 1991 album, Unforgettable With Love, sold over 14 million recordings and won 6 Grammy Awards, and it featured reworked versions of some of her father's best-known songs, including taking his original taped vocals on the song Unforgettable and adding her own updated vocals to that song for a memorable duet. Nat King Cole died in 1965, Natalie Cole in 2015, the last day of the year. Preceding that, we heard Paul Blais, who was born in Montreal, Quebec, in Canada, started playing music when he was about 5 years old. At 13, he was a professional, forming his own Buzzy Blais band, playing in Montreal, and took over for Oscar Peterson at the Alberta Lounge. He invited Charlie Parker to play in Montreal at the Jazz Workshop, and went on to play with the likes of, get this list, Lester Young, Ben Webster, Sonny Rollins, Charles Mingus, Chet Baker, Charlie Hayden, Paul Motion, Lee Konitz, Pat Metheny, Jaco Pastorius, and as you heard, to begin this edition of Jazz America, the great vibes master Gary Burton. Certainly hope you enjoyed the music of these two masters who passed away on the 3rd of January. Paul Blais passed away, and of course he did a lot of his wonderful work with one of his wives, NEA jazz master Carla Blais. This is Russ Davis, and as we remember another of the greats of jazz history who would have been 70 on the 13th of January, I want to take you backstage to the Blue Note in New York City to talk with George Duke and Stanley Clarke. They had played together in the springtime of 2013, just months before George passed away, and they played beautifully that night. I sat right in front of the stage and enjoyed soaking up all their wonderful music and their great spirits together, and then went backstage to have this conversation. And the first thing I want to say is what a beautiful night tonight it was. It was almost like sitting at the house listening to you guys in your living room, wasn't it?
Kind of like that.
That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know, I have spoken to you guys now in 4 decades. So here we are.
You're old, man.
I'm old as dirt. But my thing is, how could you come up with a song list for 1 4-day stay at the Blue Note? How could you come up with a song list?
I have a knack for that. George always says, come on, Stanley, put it together.
He just wants to see me wear my glasses.
I wanted to see George work a little bit. So I gave him no mystery. But it was amazing, the guy reading it. I always forgot that George can read, as they say, fly shit. Throw it on a piece of paper and he can read it.
It's a good thing that folks around the world don't know what the word shit means. On VOA. Thank you, gentlemen, right, and it's great to see you as always.
Good to see you. You look good.
Thank you, man. And here's a song from their first collaboration billed as a duo, the Clark Duke Project. The song is Wild Dog on Jazz America from VOA 1. Clark and Duke to Cedar Walton.
Thank you.
The great pianist Cedar Walton, NEA Jazz Master, and a song from his album The Bouncer titled Bells for Bags. And that was dedicated to the man they called Bags, Milt Jackson, the great master of the vibes. And I have an email that's come to me that's related to that nickname Bags, and I'll read it for you in just a second. But first, I want to invite you to get in touch with me by email. It's very simple. I'll give you the email address to which you can write with your questions, comments, or requests for music. Here's the address: jazzamerica@voanews.com. That's Jazz America, the two words written as one word, @ voanews.com. Jazz America at voanews.com. And here's that email I alluded to just a few minutes ago, and it comes from a longtime Jazz America listener in Hunters Hill, Australia. His name is James Stack, and he quite often gets in touch with comments about the programs each week. Here's one that he wrote after he'd listened to our Salute to Willis Conover, with all the different artists chiming in on Willis. And he made this comment concerning the song I'd played by Milt Jackson, who's also known as Bags. And here's what he said. A Google search suggests that Milt Jackson's nickname Bags was given to him by a bass player in Detroit. Bags referred to the bags under his eyes. It is suggested by someone yet to be identified because of his habit of staying up all night. Well, if you don't get enough sleep, you'll have bags under your eyes, but you may not be a master of the vibes like Milt Jackson was. Thank you, James Stack, for that bit of information. And speaking of nicknames, I'm going to play you some music now from a gentleman whose first name is Armando, his second is Anthony, and his last name is Correa. And nobody calls him Armando Anthony Correa. They always call him Chick. And when I was interviewing Chick Corea at the Chamber Music America conference a few years ago, I asked him, where did that name come from? And he said it came from his grandmother, who would always pinch his cheeks when he was just a little bitty boy and say, cheeky, 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 cheeky. Well, it became Chick. And he became known as Chick from that point unto today and forever, I'm sure. Here's Chick Corea with his group Origin, one of his many groups, from the album Changes, with Early Afternoon Blues to begin this set of music on VOA's Jazz America. brand new music and the hard, swinging, grooving sound of Dave Stryker on guitar and Steve Slagle on the saxophone, the Stryker Slagle Band Expanded, they call it, as they add a bigger horn section than usual from the album Roots, just out, the song Lickety Split Lounge. I'm going to try to give you a little bit more of the new music that's just coming out, maybe do an entire show of nothing but new stuff sometime in the future, just so you can keep up to date with all the trends in jazz today here on Jazz America. This is Russ Davis, and my special guests on this edition of the show are Stanley Clark and George Duke. George would have celebrated his 70th birthday on the 12th of January. He passed away in August of 2013. And they met in 1971 in Europe and then began collaborating with one another quite a bit over the years until the very end of George's life. In January of 2005, at the International Association for Jazz Education Conference in Long Beach, California, one of the panels was billed as A Conversation with George Duke. Well, the person having the conversation with George Duke just happened to be his longtime friend and associate bassist, Stanley Clark. Let's listen in on some of that conversation right now. Stanley and George talked about what it was like playing on one another's recordings.
I played on his records, he played on mine.
Yeah, it was a really funny thing. I mean, we had played on each other's records. It was like a ping pong game. So we decided, because, you know, like George would play on my record, and, you know, and I'd pay him, then vice versa, he'd pay me. So we decided to take the money thing out of the whole equation. So we just play on each other's records, because it's basically the same money going backwards and forwards. So we've been playing with each other for a long time. And George is like He's like a big brother to me, you know. Okay, you're a younger brother. All right, okay.
The younger brother.
He's a younger brother.
Yeah.
Of another planet. No. It's been a great relationship. He's, you know, George is, you know, I've never met a musician that has so many things together. He does well in so many. He's a master in so many different things, you know. I mean, there's a lot of musicians that are specialists, great trumpet players, great this, you know, but George is one of these individuals that you can stick him in almost any, you know, part of music, and he's going to excel and do something very masterful, you know. So it's
funny. I actually feel the same way about him, but, you know, a lot of people think we're very much alike musically because we work together, but actually, that's not altogether true. You know, which is an interesting kind of thing. I think that's why we work well together. But he's also very proficient in many different styles and understands what makes them work. And so when you put the two of us together with his bent on music and mine, it makes an interesting combination. And we can go pretty much anywhere.
title cut from their first collaborative effort ever in the mid-1970s, the album Journey to Love, attributed to Stanley Clark, but it was a great collaboration between Stanley on the bass and George Duke on keyboards, and with that beautiful falsetto voice of his ringing out in such a beautiful, soulful, jazzy way. Now, here's another great bass player who was also a leader of his band almost from the beginning of his career, Charles Mingus, who in 1962 called this the best record I ever made. The album, Tijuana Moods, and from that, the classic Dizzy Moods on Jazz America from VOA 1. Great Charles Mingus with Dizzy Moods from Tijuana Moods from 1962. More of our conversation with George Duke and Stanley Clark next hour.